Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
For the next 20, 25 minutes, let's just commit our hearts to drawing near to God right now. Let's just lift our hands. If you're okay with that, draw near to God. I'm going to pray for you, Father, right now. We lean in. For the next 25 minutes, we're going to lean into God. Open our eyes that we might see wonderful things in your word today. Open our hearts to receive all that you have for us. We give ourselves to you, Father. Touch us and lead us by your Holy Spirit in the wonderful name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. Amen. Come on, let's give Jesus another big hand. Turn, give someone a high five or an elbow or whatever. Grab a seat. Very excited to be with you today, to come around the Word of God. It's fantastic. I've been really enjoying the series on wisdom. Am I doing this right? Studies in the book of Proverbs. Before we get into the Word of God, though, I'd like to really acknowledge a very dear and wonderful friend of mine, great member of our church, possibly the most favourite person in this church of mine, Rod Harry, could you please stand up? It's Rod's 95th birthday yesterday. He's here with Ian and Annette, Kayleen. Rod, we love you. We love you. God bless you. He is one of the true champions of our church. Okay, and Rod, you can probably remember this because 39 years ago this week, the longest winning streak in the history of world sport was broken. No, it wasn't the Bledisloe Cup. That's still going. That hasn't been broken yet. It's only 20 years. This is a lot longer than this. This was 132 years. Can everyone put their hand up? I think Scott's small nose, don't you, Scott? You know what it is? Put your hand up if you know the answer. How about this song might stir up a few memories? I come from a land down under. You know that one? Australia 2, Bet Liberty in the 12-metre yachting America's Cup. The New York Yacht Club had held that trophy for 132 years. But those little Aussie battlers came along. Oh, yeah. Australia 2, this fabulous yacht, and it was awesome. But guess what? The Americans could see the sail. They could see the spinnaker. They could see the hull. They could see the crew. They could see everything that was above the surface. But Australia 2 had something that was beneath the surface. It was under the water. No one could see it. And this morning, I want to draw an analogy because that was a secret winged keel that was under the surface that had been invented by a guy called Ben Lexer. Now, the keel of a yacht is there, and under the surface, it has this weight in it, and it's designed for stability and maneuverability. So that when the wind blows and the sails are bending, under the surface, there's a weight that will self-righten that yacht and keep it on track and get it to the finishing line in first place. Can we give Jesus a hand? And I want to encourage you this morning to build something under the surface in your personal world. Now, here on a Sunday, we're all worshiping God. It's awesome. We're praying publicly. That's incredible. We're giving. That's fantastic. But during the week, we need to do something in our world that will build a weight that no one else can see, That's between us and God. But when the wind blows, you will have a weight in your spirit to self-righten you. And this message is all about building healthy habits in your world. Healthy habits where you just chip away. What was that song we were singing? Brick by brick. We're building slowly, incrementally. We're building under the surface a foundation in our life, brick by brick, so we can build something incredible to the glory of God above the surface. And it's healthy habits. Turn to your neighbor and say, healthy habits. Come on, healthy habits. Okay, now, Proverbs 22, 24 to 25 in the Good News Translation says this: don't make friends with people who have hot, violent tempers. You might learn their habits, everybody say habits, and not be able to change. Now this habits, I'm just thinking about this now, they can work for you or against you. If you've got a bad habit, a self-destructive habit, you may not be able to change that with you. That could destroy your life. But on the other hand, if you have a good habit, if you have a healthy habit, if you have an eternal habit, no matter what happens, you won't be able to change because it's something that is deeply ingrained in your personal world. There's a definition in the dictionary, as the bodybuilder said to the librarian, "You've got the dictionary, but I've got the definition." Okay, so here it comes, definition. In fact, I was looking at Jamie Malcolm this morning and I said, "Has anybody got a Band-Aid? Because those are cut." You can't come into church with guns like that. Shame, but anyway, okay, definition. A definition of a habit, okay, it's a settled or regular tendency or practice, especially one that's hard to give up. John Dryden said this: we first make our habits, then our habits make us. Will Durant said, you are what you repeatedly do. Today, I want to encourage you to commit yourself to building and making good habits in your spiritual world, your internal world, and your relational world, so that you can be the person God has called you to be and do all that He's called you to do. When someone came to Jesus, as in the Gospel of Matthew, and they said, what's the most important commandment in the Bible? Jesus said this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. So that's a relationship on the vertical. He said, then love your neighbor. That's your relationship on the horizontal. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's on the internal. So let's build habits in all those three areas of our lives. Number one, let's build positive habits in our spiritual world. And we're looking at the book of Proverbs, so Proverbs 3:9 says this: honor the Lord with your wealth. But it's not just our money in which we need to honor God. We need to honor God in every single aspect and area of our life. The best example of someone who had great, healthy spiritual habits was, of course, Jesus himself. Hebrews 12:2 says this: we've got to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus had a habit from a very early age of being committed to personal growth in every area of his life. Luke 2:52, and this is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, says this: Jesus increased. Everybody say increased. See, the nature of the kingdom of God is one of increase. As Isaiah 9:7 says this: of the increase of his kingdom and peace, there will be no end. So all of us need to be having goals in our lives of increasing and becoming bigger and better people, not just spiritually, but relationally, not just emotionally and physically. Jesus had habits and they were all good, unlike myself, of course. But Jesus had a habit of prayer. Mark 1:35, from the Action Gospel. My son Joel, that was, didn't his, my beautiful daughter-in-law Anna give a great next step? Can we give her a big hand? And my son Joel and my granddaughter Olive, who are here today. Aren't they fantastic? But and Joel, my son, said to me, and I'm preaching, you know, for the Gospel of Mark this morning, 1:35, but he said, "Dad, there's two books in the Bible named after you, Mark and Titus." That's right. So I get the Mark. I'm not quite sure the Titus, but anyway. But Mark 1:35 says this. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went to a solitary place where he prayed. Now, that's one of my favourite verses in the Bible. I'm going to follow that up with one of my least favourite verses in the Bible. And it's from the Gospel of Matthew. And Jesus is going to the Mount of Olives to pray. He knows he's going to be crucified. He's going to die for the sins of the world. He says, "I need some support here. I need some encouragement." It's like the guy, like me, you know, like I said to Kerry the other day, "Darling, every time I look in the mirror, I see an ugly old man looking back at me. I need a word of encouragement." And she said, "I'm going to give you a word of encouragement, darling." I said, "Thank you, darling. What?" She said, "You have perfect eyesight." "Thank you, darling. Thank you, sweetheart." But Jesus needed encouragement. So he went up the mountain, and he didn't go to Mount of Olives alone. He took Peter, James, and John with him. And he said, "Stay here and keep watch with me." And he goes and prays, pours out his heart to God, and he comes back, and there they are asleep. And this is my least favourite scripture in the Bible. "Couldn't you keep watch for me for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you do not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." If only you and I could build a healthy habit of prayer in our personal world. And I've been trying to do this since 1976, when dinosaurs roamed the earth. Yes, I used to have to get up in the morning and a pterodactyl would run past and a T-Rex, they'd all be running around and I'd be dodging them, trying to build the habit of personal prayer in my own devotional world. And you know what? I'm still working on it. Are you? Let's make a commitment that one of our next steps is going to be upping the ante in our personal prayer life. Building a habit where we seek first the kingdom of God. And then all the other stuff's going to happen, but just seeking the face of Almighty God. Jesus had a habit of prayer. Jesus had a habit of going to church. If you turn to Luke chapter 4 and verse 16, very early in Jesus' ministry, it says he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. So this was his local town. This is where he lived the first 30 years of his life. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue or into church, as was his custom, as was his habit. Jesus was always in church. All the first 30 years of his life, he was in church. Every Sabbath day, in church, worshiping God and hearing the word of God every week. In fact, as a 12-year-old boy, Jesus' mum and dad had lost him. And they were running around Jerusalem trying to find him. They finally went to the temple. And there was Jesus sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. And they said, Jesus, we were so worried. We thought we'd lost you. And he said, why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? He had to be in the house of God. People on Zoom, you're tuning in today. Thank you so much. People in the room, you're here today. I'm preaching to the choir. But don't stop whatever you do. Don't stop coming to the house of God. Don't stop praying. Don't stop gathering. In fact, it says in Hebrews 10:23, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit. Everybody say habit. As some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other and all the more. Oh, I used to go to church all the time, but I'm getting a bit older, so I'm going to do it a bit less. No, we don't get less. We're increasing. Of the increase of his kingdom and peace, there'll be no end. No, all the more. All the more as you see the day approaching. Jesus is coming back. Look busy. Come on, look busy. Let's get about our Father's business and get to the house of God. Thirdly, reading the Word of God. If we're still in Luke 4. He's in the synagogue. He gets up to speak. They hand him the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Big, complex book. 66 chapters, thousands of verses, incredible prophecies, amazing book, the book of Isaiah. But you know what? There were no chapters and no verses. It wasn't even a book, it was a scroll. Jesus went through the scroll and he found what we now know as Isaiah 61 and 2. 61, 1 and 2. And he said this. And he read from this passage. And you see, Jesus, early on as a young man, in the habit of reading the Word of God, had found his life's mission and purpose as a young person. Young people today, so many young people are looking. Can we give our youth a wonderful hand? Good on you guys, you're awesome. You're awesome. So many people today of all ages are going, what's my purpose? What's my meaning? But Jesus found his meaning as he exercised his regular habit of reading the scriptures. He said this, he quoted, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He found his purpose in the Word of God. Then he handed it over, sat down and said, today this is fulfilled in your hearing. But he not only found his life's mission, he found his own personal identity in the Word of God. People go, what's my purpose? What's my identity? Who am I? They're struggling to find who they are. Well, listen, if you want to, don't spend all your life trying to find who you are. Spend your life finding who God is. Because when you find God, you find yourself and the purpose for which you have been created. Can we give Jesus a big hand today?
Use those guns.
Come on. Just change the inflection a bit. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach the Word of God. He has sent me to proclaim, release the captives. See, he found himself in the Word of God. He had a habit of prayer, a habit of church, a habit of the Word of God. Let's go on a next step. Let's all take it. This is what church is all about, next steps. Go to the next step lounge, the next step bar, whatever. Let's go on a journey of creating positive habits in our spiritual world, reading the Bible, praying, go to church. How about this? Serving in church. Getting on the next step team. Becoming a connect group leader. helping set up the chairs or take up the offerings or helping in kids' church. Wouldn't that be awesome? Let's find our identity and our mission in the house of God. Okay. Second thing we need to do is make positive habits in our internal world. Our internal world, who we are. Now, this is an area, I'm going to get honest with you today. I'm going to get down and dirty this morning. So, I struggle in certain areas here. And this is the one here, self-control. Everybody say self-control. You know, I you'll find this hard to believe, but over the years, I've had a few brain explosions in my time. I can identify with Oscar Wilde. Oscar Wilde was the great Irish wit and playwright. When he arrived in America, they said anything to declare. He said, only my genius. On his deathbed, he said, either that wallpaper goes or I go. How about that? That was a good one, wasn't it? He also said some really profound things. How about this? He said this, I think this is in, what was that show where the guy lost, I forget the name of his play. But he said this, one of the characters said this, every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. Isn't that awesome? Every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. Wonderful. But he said this, I can resist all things except temptation. So I'm preaching about self. So there's times in my life when the red mist descends and away I go saying stupid things, telling inappropriate mother-in-law jokes in this pulpit. Might I say I didn't preach for another 6 months afterwards. Maybe it was just a coincidence. There's been moments in my life was if self-control was petrol, I wouldn't have enough to drive a lawnmower around a donut. I became sometimes the living embodiment of Proverbs 25:28, which says, like a city whose walls are broken down or through, is a person who lacks self-control. Recently, the doctor called me up, true story. This isn't a sermon illustration. This is a sermon illustration, and it's a true story, just like, except when Richard Forsyth preaches, it's just a sermon illustration, okay? But with me, it's a true story. Well, there's a big difference between me and Richard, okay? But recently, the doctor called me up and he said, look, I've looked at your blood test. Your sugar levels are too high. You need to go to an endocrinologist. I didn't even know what an endocrinologist was. I still don't know what an endocrinologist was. But anyway, I went along. I'm sitting in the waiting room, made an appointment. And but what I did was, before I went, I thought, I prayed. I said, oh God. I said, I've been an idiot. I have not had self-control. So right now, for the next 21 days, you see, I went on a 21-day Daniel fast where I just ate fish and lettuce and rabbit food and only drank water, no coffee, no Coronas, nothing. And just water. And anyway, so I rocked up. And then the doctor called me and I was in the waiting room and he said, listen, you need to go and see your endocrinologist. I got the blood results. They're not good. I said, look, I'm just there now. So I went in. I'm in fear and trembling because I was kicking myself because I'd let myself go. And I go, oh God, what am I doing? Anyway, so I went in and the endocrinologist said, so tell me about yourself. What are you doing? So I said, well, look, I'm pastor and I've just been on a 21-day Daniel fast. And I explained what that was when he asked me. And he said, look, he said, these tests, fantastic. You're awesome. You're an inspiration. He said, I wish I was more like you. Off you go. Don't come back in a year or don't bother seeing me at all. And that's good, isn't it? It beats the alternative. But here's the thing. We shouldn't get to the point where we're desperate and praying for, you know, like in areas like that, oh God, just give me a breakthrough here. I'll never do that again. We need to practice self-control. In our daily life, each and every day, we're healthy spiritually, we're healthy relationally, we're healthy physically. We have wise habits in every area of our personal world. See, God created Adam and Eve, and God could have prevented the fall of man. But he didn't. Adam and Eve. If God had said, I'm going to control Adam and Eve, they're not going to have freedom of choice, I'll be able to save humanity from being destroyed and falling and sinning into the earth. But he didn't. God would rather have you walking away with him, away from him, with freedom of choice, than walking with him controlled like a puppet. Because he knows if you're walking away from one day when you hear the word of God, like you have today, the Spirit of God can come on you and you can turn around and say, I am going to follow Christ. Not because I have to, but because I want to. Not out of obligation or duty, but out of love. I'm now going to walk for God. God isn't going to control you. You need to control yourself. In fact, the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5. Love, joy, peace, meekness, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness. What's the next one? Self-control. Turn to your neighbour and say self-control. Self, come on, Jamie. Self-control, yeah. Self-control. Proverbs chapter, we're preaching out of Proverbs. I made up my own. Proverbs 32 verse 1. Doesn't exist, I just made it up. I make stuff up. Only believe me when I'm quoting directly from Scripture, everybody. Okay, Proverbs 32 verse 1. There's only one person in this world that you can control. It's not your wife. It's not your husband. It's not your kids. It's not your workmates. There's only one person in life that you can control. Who is that person? Yourself. Say it with some conviction. Come on. Thank you. Go to the next step bar and say, bartender, I'll have a double shot of self-control right now. Come on. Let's go and order a good stiff drink of self-control. Let's put in a teaspoon of cement as well, mix it up and harden up and control ourselves. We need positive habits in our spiritual world, positive habits in our internal world, positive habits in our relational world. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times. A brother is born for adversity. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience. I was driving up the Wakehurst today. And I think you guys were in front of me, right? And in front of you, yeah, Emily, Francis, you're in front of me. You've got a grey sort of four-wheel drive. Is that you? Glenn, that's Glenn, yeah. In front of him, there's someone who's got a problem. They don't realise. They think a six is something that has a curve at the top. That's like that. No. That's an eight. It's not 60 down the Wakehurst. It's... Any, who's driven down the Wakehurst and had the sanctification tested? Patience. And I'm driving there and I'm late for the team huddle at 8 o'clock. I'm late. And I'm... And it's all good. It's all good on Sunday, worshiping God. But no. 1 John 4 says this. How can you say you love God who you can't see, if you can't love your neighbour who you can see, who actually is made in the image of God? Neil Dowling, who pastored one of our churches many years ago, he said this to me, to a large extent, Mark, my relationship with God is played out in my relationship with my wife. It's how we treat others that shows us how spiritual we really are. Let's build habits where we're forgiving people, we're loving people, we're serving people, we're embracing people. Let's build habits that embrace other people. So guys, this morning, the Apostle Paul said this, I labour till Christ be formed in you. And when that happens, and it's a lot of it, of course, God's a huge factor in this equation. He's a huge factor in this equation, but you know what? You are too, by exercising your free will and working together with the Spirit of God. And I'm going to finish with a prayer for all of us and how we treat other people that was written by St. Francis of Assisi. Just listen to this one. He prayed this, a great Catholic mystic who gave all his possessions away and followed Christ. He said, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console. To be understood as to understand. To be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Let's be committed to healthy habits, to having a keel under the surface with a weight in it that self-rightens us and keeps us heading in the direction that God wants for our lives. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer this morning. Right now, we're in the presence of Almighty God. And there might be people here today, you've never met Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, or you've been away from God. You're saying, I need to get right with God today. Well, every head is bowed and every eye is closed. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand in just a moment. I want you to say, yeah, that's me. I need Jesus in my world. There's areas of my life I can't control. God, help me. Work with me, God. Make me into a new person. If that's you, right now, lift your hand up and give me a wave. Right now. Lift it up. Give me a wave and say, yeah, that's me. Yeah, I see you down the back there. God bless you. God bless you, ma'am. Who else is there today? Who else is there? Just give me a wave. Say, yeah, that's me. I need help. There's areas in my life I can't control. I need help. God, help me this morning. And He will. He'll come into your world. Why don't we all pray this? Yeah, I see your hand. God bless you. Why don't we pray this prayer in the name of Jesus? Bow your heads, close your eyes. Repeat after me. Lord Jesus. I'll say it again. Lord Jesus, I turn away from my old life. I turn towards you. Help me to follow you. Help me to live for you. Help me to serve you. And help me to serve others. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we just stand to our feet right now? We're in God's presence. I want you to think of areas that might be a next step for you in your personal world. It might be areas in your prayer life. Anybody need to increase their prayer life? Anybody need to increase their Bible reading life? I read the Bible every year. For the last 23 years, I've read the Bible in its entirety every year. But this year, I'm stuck in 2 Chronicles. New Testament I'm up to, Psalms, Proverbs are doing good. Old Testament I'm struggling. I'm committed. By the end of this year, I'll have read the Bible in its entirety again. And then January the 1st, it's going to be Genesis 1, Matthew 1, Psalm 1, Proverbs 1 to 3. The Word of God, church attendance and service. In issues in our own lives that we're struggling with. Maybe self-control, maybe other areas. And then our relationships with other people. Loving, forgiveness, grace, mercy. Can we lift our hands if you're okay, you're comfortable with that? Just look to God right now. I'm going to pray that Christ would be formed in you afresh today in those areas of weakness, that they might become strengths today. Father, right now, we pray that we might go on a journey to discovering you and discovering healthy habits in our lives, Christ-like attributes, Father, in our spirituality, in our own personal worlds, in the way we treat others. Grant us the ability to create positive habits. In Jesus' mighty and wonderful name we pray. Help us, God. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Why don't we give Jesus a big hand? God bless you, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.